Tonight we continue our teaching sessions on the death, afterlife, and the end times. Now, well, before I begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for once again allowing us to study your word, to be a part, dear Lord God, of the holiness of who you are. Father, your word is so powerful, and we thank you for giving it to us, and ask, Father, now that as we rightly divide your word, we can only do that through your direction, through the leadership of your Spirit. Touch each of us now as we learn more about what you have planned for us in the days ahead. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've listened to any of the studies at all, you are a lot of the terms that go around. One is millennium, the millennium period, the millennium period. What does the millennium period mean? It's what I'm going to get into tonight, because we have just finished coming through the end time study, focusing on the tribulation period, what's going on during the tribulation. And remember, I always remind you of this, the great tribulation that is going to happen, we need to study it, we need to understand it, so we can warn those who don't know about it. But the Christian will not be affected personally, directly by the tribulation. We are already gone from that. We're out of here by the time the tribulation comes. So we went through that, we saw the tribulation period, we saw the judgment of God again. When the judgment of God comes down, God's children need not fear God's judgment, because we cannot be judged because of the blood that is within us. The judgment is passed from us through the blood of Christ. Christ said, I'm going to take every bit of the guilt of Larry Vance on this cross. And then he names us. And all of it is gone, past, present, and future. So therefore, God's judgment can only come and is only passed to those who are guilty. Now, and I've given you scripture after scripture after scripture showing you this. So tonight, I wanted us, as we get through the, and we're at the end of the tribulation, we finish with Armageddon. And no, that is not the last war that is mentioned in scripture. At the end of the thousand-year reign, or what we're getting ready to study tonight, the millennium, is a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. Let me begin it this way. The millennium reign of Jesus Christ, and what does millennium mean? First of all, the word millennium is made up of two Latin words, mil and annum, or like in per annum or annual. So millennium meaning 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Mil, Latin, is 1,000. Annum is years. 1,000-year reign. Biblically, it focuses on the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth after his second coming. Now, I had graph and everything last week where I showed you that at that time of the second coming of Christ, that's when that all the dead saints of the Old Testament rise at that time. Where were we during that seven-year period? We were with Christ in paradise. We were with him. Now, when people say, now, where is paradise? I haven't the slightest idea. But the only thing I do know is this, it's with Jesus, so that's all I care about. Wherever it is, people say, well, is it in the realm of the spiritual realm of between earth and heaven? And all? I don't know. And all these people that say they do, they don't know either, because the scripture doesn't tell us. So what do I focus on? I focus on what we do know. And what we do know is this, in paradise, we will be with Christ. So you and I really don't care where it is, just knowing that we are with Jesus. Now, scripture also lets us know that it's focusing more like the Garden of Eden period of time. During that time, at seven-year period, here we are, we're there. That's when Christ is setting aside us as individuals as to where we're going to be serving him in eternity. Now, all of a sudden, we're at the end of Armageddon. Second coming of Christ has already taken place. The dead saints of the Old Testament, they've been raised back. They've been given a glorified body. You and I have the glorified body. What's the glorified body? The same type of body that Jesus had when he came out of the tomb. Now, remember something about the glorified body. The glorified body that Christ showed us was a body that could appear, disappear. But he ate. He even fixed breakfast for him one morning. And he conversed. But he was also in and out just like that. He would appear in a room and he would disappear from a room. So that glorified body that you and I are going to have is like what Christ has right now. And I just wonder, I get excited thinking, you know, we can appear and disappear. I want to hear what you all are talking about me in the other room. But think of that. We can appear and disappear. Listen to this. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. Now, I overdid it, as I do so often when I start studying and writing and fixing this up. I have 8 pages tonight. So just in case I don't get through it, Faye's already sighing over here. She knows what that means. But I wanted you to have the whole scripture. I want you to see it. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. The eye is talking about, I saw, that's John, the revelator. Got him? Okay. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So during this millennium reign, Christ is bound. He's not going to be on planet Earth. He is going to be bound, but only for 1,000 years. And remember this, because I found many people didn't focus on it. I think you knew it, but they just didn't focus on it. Satan does not live in hell. Satan lives on planet Earth. Hey, well, you ought to know. We talk to him and he confronts us on a daily basis. He's not in hell yet. He was cast down to earth, and therefore we're having to deal and contend with him. But at this time, he will be bound, cast in for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Picture, God's in control. Now, picture this. God's in control of Satan and all of the evil that comes against us. And God says, okay, I'm in control. You're going to be bound for 1,000 years. Knowing that God's in control of them and we belong to God, why are we so upset about the power of Satan? Can Satan deceive me? Yes. Does Satan have the power to take away my salvation? No. As a matter of fact, let me remind you, the new nature that you have, there's two natures fighting inside of us, a new nature and an old nature. Satan can only attack you from the old nature. It's the way he always does it, isn't it? He's not messing with your new nature. He's getting back in your old thoughts. He's reminding you of the old days. You remember when you had fun? It's time you get out and have some more fun. You see, he always deals with the old nature. He can tempt us with that, but he can't mess with the new nature. Okay. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. This comes from the Old Testament also. Domitian was one that I remember that they would have worshipped the seals and everything that he had, or that the power that he had of the Old Testament, also of the tribulation period. Many refused to worship Satan or to be tricked. You think about that group. You and I don't have to sweat it today. Is the Antichrist here? Well, there's a lot of Antichrist out here. The one for the ultimate time? No. Is he born yet? Maybe. I don't know that. But I'm saying that we have not met him, I don't think, because we will be taken out before he comes to reign. But who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's us. You and I are going to live and reign with Christ on planet Earth for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the ultimate, that's when the great white throne judgment. You saw that in your scale. That's at the end of the 1,000 years. That was those that are going to go for the great white throne judgment of God. Those are the ones that are going to be cast with Satan away. They will not live to them. This is the first resurrection, meaning the resurrection of Christ, or us, a part of the first resurrection. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you accepted the first resurrection. That's where you're part of it. Blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection. Over such, meaning over the over such of us being a part of the first resurrection, the second death has no power. I like that one too. The second death has power over us. But they shall be, that's us, we're the they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us. The Bible says we will. Now, there are teachings out here, and there are teachings out here by theologians. But anybody who studies Scripture a lot and had been around a while, you know that many theologians are not Christians. Many who know the Word of God study the Word of God to refute the Word of God or to confuse God's people. So you have to pay attention. When you have a theologian that stands up and says, I do not believe in the virgin birth or the resurrection, what we got? If there is no virgin birth of Christ and there is no resurrection from the dead, what'd Paul say? Think about Paul. We're of all men most miserable. Anyway, somebody said it. We're of all men most miserable. If this is all we've got, if this is all there is, we're miserable. So we know then that many will teach that this is not going to take place in reality, meaning it's a figure of speech. It is spiritualism, the 1,000-year reign. Well, let me ask you this then. When God said at the beginning, from Genesis on through, God said that his son would reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years, throughout the prophecies. David's throne is not in heaven. As many say, well, you know, he's talking about spiritualizing it. It's the throne of heaven that's given to David. God did not give David the throne in heaven. The throne was on earth. And Jesus says, and here's where, now, let me bring in my particular way of understanding this. And this is the only way that I can do this. When God said from the beginning that his son would reign, and he promised his son the kingdom, and Christ will reign on earth for the 1,000 years, it is not figuratively. He will reign on earth for the 1,000 years, I believe with all my heart, and we will reign with him. I believe that. Yes, but you and I need to understand, I'll show you this, we're reigning, folks, in our glorified bodies. So let me break that down for you. The whole millennial reign will be unique, and it's going to be unique because of who is there. Now, the millennium will be inhabited by two groups of believers. Now, catch this. At the beginning of the millennial reign, there will only be believers. Won't be any lost. What happened to them? The judgment. Yes, they failed. They failed during the tribulation period. Non-believers were, okay, they're out of here. No non-believers coming out of the millennial reign. We got that? Okay, I mean, out of the tribulation. Group number one. These are the believers who have survived the tribulation. Remember, the judgment of God wipes out all the others. So you've got the believers that survived the tribulation. These individual believers will enter the kingdom in their natural physical bodies. They haven't died yet. They're entering the kingdom in their natural physical bodies. They will live in houses, do work, marry, and have children. It ain't over, folks, when you leave this planet. That's why I don't get so excited over this thing called death. I'm a Christian. I will walk through the door and people like Randy's going to be jealous if I die before he does, because I'm going to be there to say, "Now, Randy, I told you I was more right than you were in a lot of this." But listen to this. Isaiah 62, verses 21 through 23. Now, here's a scripture for that. They will build houses. Now, this is the prophetic scripture of Isaiah. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses, though, and others live in them, or plant and others eat it. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. Why is he going back to this? Because this was the perfection, folks, that God promised at the beginning. See, when God created us, he never intended for man to die. We were not given life to ever die. We were even given the best, ask Adam and Eve, you'll have an opportunity. We'll even be, we're given the best. Here is the Garden of Eden. God said, I want you to enjoy, and I want you to enjoy while I reign. God is supreme. Man chose not to listen to God. Man chose evil over God. Well, he was tricked by Satan. Man chose evil over God. Only the woman was tricked. Man chose to sin. Can't believe I said that, but he did. Yeah. Adam, you know, Eve was tricked. Adam said, okay, Eve, honey, you talk me into it. Now, I don't have that in print anywhere, but that's obvious that he did choose to sin. He chose to take it, right? They will long enjoy their works. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. That can only take place during a millennial reign. Children will not be born to any kind of misfortune during this period, meaning from the beginning, God meant it to be this way, and God will show the human race and all of eternity what he intended from the beginning before sin entered. And he will focus on that. And that's the way the millennial reign is going to be. Well, yeah, but what about us? Well, we're there. We're evidently walking with those who are still human. See, this is where people say, that gets spooky. Well, don't you think it gets a little spooky with the virgin birth and the resurrection of the dead too? Huh? So it's not the spooky part, it's the truth part. You and I think from the human standpoint, and we need to get more spiritual when we're listening to this. Because of their physical human condition, they will still possess the sinful nature. Not us. This is those that have come into the millennial reign in their human bodies. Even though Satan is not present to tempt them. Remember what I've told you several times? Satan could take a vacation, we'd still sin. Group number two. Believers who either died or were raptured before the tribulation. This is group two, that's us. We will already have our new glorified bodies. I told you that. We will not have the sinful nature. Thus, we will not sin. Phew, first time in our history, huh? No wonder we'll be jumping up and down with joy. Listen to Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's us. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Shall, no might, maybe about it. Christ is the first resurrection. To believe in Christ is to be a part of the first resurrection. I told you that a while ago, but I printed it out for you to take with you. Acts 26, 23, that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead. As scripture, you see it. He is the first, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Who's a Gentile? Anybody that's not a Jew? That's a Gentile. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. See? Randy, ever so often when you shout, have you ever caught yourself doing that? Yeah, he does sometimes. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, for those who had asked me, and this may have been an email, I can't remember, but asked me, is there a possibility that after you're transformed for you to sin or get kicked out of heaven? No. No. For one thing, you don't have the sinful nature. You have the glorified body. Only thing that makes us sin is our nature of the human existence. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Are you seeing what he was saying? I want you to be comforted during this time. Nowhere will you find in Scripture where the church is warned, oh, be afraid, be frightened. No, it's anyone but the Christian should be afraid. Why then were the Christians still here? To warn the world. Folks, Christ would that all would know him. None should perish. And my and your job is to take the message. Yeah. See, if I'm fighting all the time with my salvation, if I'm fighting all the time as whether I'm lost or saved or messed up, I don't have time then to look after somebody else, do I? I'm too tied up and wanting to make sure that I get to heaven. Jesus says, Larry, when you accept me, you're heaven bound. Now get about my Father's business. So when I get about my Father's business, I do it relaxed, knowing I don't have to watch my back. Christ watches for me. What else am I going to find in the millennium? What's it going to be like? Peace. Whew. Finally, peace. You know what Scripture says, peace, peace. They yell, cry, peace. But there is no peace. You won't find peace. How many centuries have they been talking about peace in the Middle East? Have you ever seen peace? How often you see peace in your own household? I'm talking about perfect, where nobody's got any problems, everybody's well, nobody's sick. Boy, you get a lot of kids and somebody's sick all the time. Yeah, but if you're watching them sleep, you're up for something. There goes your peace. Here we go. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Christ then will continue, folks, to establish his kingdom forever and ever and ever. It's not over when we die or when the end of this age comes. We are obviously the beginning of an age ready to open up at any time. Now, do I grasp that? My God, I don't even grasp today. But I do believe it and understand that the Lord says that his government and his peace is going to continue from now on. Well, if I'm a part of him, then that means forever and ever and ever there's going to be peace in my life, right? He will reign. Now, listen to it. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will. This is a figure of speech that I want you to understand that really he's talking about doing it in heaven. No. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I'm going to show you, God says, how I intended it for it to be from the beginning. For that 1,000 years, you're going to see it. Well, what about the next 1,000? Hey, you just be thankful that he gives us the 1,000-year look and plus all the ages to come we can't even count. Isaiah 2:4, he will judge between the nations. So we have nations here on earth during 1,000 years, different nations, right? And will settle disputes. Well, how do you know this is in the future? How many disputes have you seen settled in the nations? You haven't. Okay, settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares. Haven't seen that yet, have you? And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Now, that's not in any age we've ever seen in the past. And that's certainly not in our age. So what age could it be? The millennial reign. This is where Christ said it would be. Okay. Isaiah 11:6-9. You don't see this one yet either. Now, this is during this period. Listen to this. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. And the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. You get a cow and bear together today and see who does the eating and who the feed is. Okay? Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is not the new heaven and the new earth, because they haven't come down yet. The new heaven and the new earth don't come down till the end of the thousand-year reign. This is the regenerated earth that the Lord comes during his judgment. The mountains are spread out. Remember all of that? And remember what took place? God then cleans it all up. We're given the perfect world for that thousand-year period of time, just like he intended the perfect Garden of Eden to begin with. And it'll be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Zechariah 9:10. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now, does that sound like to you that he's talking about heaven or the earth? He's talking about the rule on earth during that thousand-year period. The next is what will the millennium be like. The millennium will be full of joy. Here's something for you all to remember. Isaac Watts' song, Joy to the World, was written to celebrate the second coming of Christ to rule and reign on earth, not as a Christmas carol. Had nothing to do with the Christmas carol. It was to glorify and celebrate the second coming of Christ to rule and to reign on earth. So when we sing Joy to the World on Christmas, that's fine. But that's not why he wrote it. He wrote it, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Woo! That's the second coming. Excuse me. Isaiah 9:3-4. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoiced before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as men rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. It's just like God saying, I told you, my son loves you. Now let me show you the love that we intended from the beginning. And you and I are right there in the midst of the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth in a glorified body, not sick. Well, I'll get into that in a minute. Isaiah 12:3-6. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, it's a thousand-year reign, Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations that he, what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. Where? Among you. He's among us. Okay. What will the millennium be like? Holiness. Now remember, holy means set apart for God's service. So are you holy? Yes. If you're a Christian, you're holy. Set apart for God's service. You set a building apart for God's service. That's holiness. You set the pew apart for God's service. That's a holy pew. So you holy people sitting on your holy pews. Isaiah 4, 3 and 4. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Huh. So that means that we're going to be spread throughout all the world during this period of time, going in and coming out of holy Jerusalem. That's going to be the center of a focus here. But remember, we're going throughout the world here. What are you and I going to be doing? He said we're going to be reigning with him. What does that mean? Don't know. But I'm thankful that it's with him. I guarantee you, he'll teach us. Is he doing that in a seven-year period that of the tribulation? Very possibly so. We'll certainly be with him, but we will also, according to Scripture, know what's going on earth. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. What does that mean? Don't know. But we'll get to see it. And when you get to the people that tell you they know, ask them how. Okay. We'll have deeper knowledge. Isaiah 11:9. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let me remind you. When you die, no, you do not instantly know everything. That's not Scripture. People say, when I die, I'll know it all. No, it doesn't say that. For one thing, the Scripture lets us know only God knows everything. We will never get to the point where we know it all. We will forever be learning, but you will never get to the point that you are God. Satan tried that, remember? You're going to see at the end of the thousand year where man decides again to get cocky and decide that we'll fight against Christ who has given us perfect conditions for a thousand years. And where did all that evil come from with Satan chained up for the thousand years? The heart of man has become so corrupt just in our generation. Look at it. The corruptness and all of how we defile ourselves, folks. What's the greatest defiling that can go on within the human mind? It's to say there is no God. See, that's the sin you got to watch about. Satan will trick you in all of these others. Well, that's it. That, you know, telling a lie sends you straight to hell. No, it won't. But what, everybody in here would already be in hell. No, it won't. You know, think of that. If that is it, we're all doomed. The only thing, as I've said this morning, that can send to hell is unbelief, not believing who Christ is. After all, he's the one who's revealed himself to us. Now, look in Jeremiah 31:33-34. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, at the end of the tribulation period. After that time. Got it? During this period. Declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord. Why not? That means I'm not going to be evangelizing. Why not? Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. But we're not there yet. We're still here. What else is going to go on during the millennial reign? No sickness or deformity will be brought against the humans or the ones who are still in the physical body. Certainly we can't be, because we'll be in a glorified body. Yes, you will be with your friends and your husbands and all of them. Anybody who's saved, you're going to be with. You will know, you'll do this, but your relationship is completely different. The relationship, you're not married nor divorced in heaven, the scripture says. That's not going to happen. Your relationship with each other will be so great, it's going to supersede any of the love that you may have for one another here on earth. Well, what is that? I don't have any idea. But I do know that it goes beyond any human condition or human relationship. But listen, no sickness or deformity. Isaiah 29:18. In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll. And out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. All deformities taken away during that period of time. Folks, this is not heaven. This is earth. Isaiah 33:24. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. So that way we know that they do sin, because they're still in the human body. As long as you're in a human condition, you're a mess. Right? And your preacher too. Isaiah 35:5-6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and a mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness. Woo! No more desert. There's a lot of land out there, isn't there? And streams in the desert. Gonna go boat riding in the desert, there. Ain't that neat? As a result of the elimination of sickness, people once again will live extended lifespans just as the people did before the flood. Okay? How do I know that? Isaiah 65:19-20. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. So we've got sin going on. We got good and evil still going on without Satan. What happened? I don't know. What happened? Where did the sin and all of that come from that kicked Satan out of heaven? It says that he's the father of the lie. He's the father of sin. How did that happen? Had to have been given free will for that to take place. So at one point, that's what went on with the angels. Were they the angels as we know? Don't know. Don't know how many types of angels there really are. All we can look at is the types of angels that we have listed in Scripture. But are there more? Sure, there are more. There's a group that's just with Christ. There's a group that there. You've got the warriors. You got. Sure, there is. Well, why don't we know it? Because we can't handle what we do know. Well, we can't even handle what we think we know. And we don't know, right? Okay. You all didn't think I was going to get to. I didn't think I was going to do this. What else will take place during the millennial? Economic prosperity. Now, again, you and I are reigning with Christ. Economic prosperity, we're looking at what all is going on. What's God doing with us? Obviously, he's training us, teaching us. Why is he doing that? Because there's never going to be an end to God's creation. When God started creating, he said he would never stop. He said there's no end to his creation. And also need to understand this. What man has killed that belonged to God cannot be killed, will always exist. See, I go a little deeper in my view than many preachers. And I can assure you right now, folks, I'm not even a twinkling as intelligent as these guys and gals are. Not even come close. But I can tell you this. I know within my heart that when God says it, you need to believe it. And when you believe it, you will live it. And when God says that I've created you can't mess with, count on it. Do I believe that there'll be animals in heaven? Well, yes. Or do you, that came from the mind of God? Now, do I believe animals will have a soul like us? No. They don't. Only the human being is as of God. We're only ones created in the image of God. But on the earth, God tells us that what he has created was good. He's the one who created them all. So does a new heaven and a new earth, is that where that they exist? Well, obviously they do. Even during a 1,000-year millennial reign, why is he showing us the child leading the wild beast and all of this if the wild beast aren't going to exist later either? It was always put in there for God's glory. So enjoy it. Instead of saying, well, instead of this one guy saying, I don't believe there's any rocks in heaven. If I'd had one, I'd have thrown it at him. It's like how many angels can sit on the head of a pin? Yeah. All that is, what's in heaven is exactly what God wants to be there. Tickles me to death, whatever it is. Okay, Isaiah 30, verse 23. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground. And the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in broad meadows. Well, you're not going to have to worry about the wolves because they're out there eating the grain instead of the cows and the sheep. Now, this is the 1,000-year reign here. Don't forget that. We're not in heaven yet. Jeremiah 31:12. Now, if earth gets that good, just think how good heaven is, can you? Woo! They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. The grain, the new wine, and the oil. Gosh, they got wine there. We Baptists are in a mess. The young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Ezekiel 34:26. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in seasons. There will be showers of blessing. They ought to write a song on that, Randy, shouldn't they? Huh? Yeah, be a good song, Larry. There'll be showers in seasons, so we're going to be going through the four seasons. Have you noticed in Scripture, folks, just in a cursory reading of it, that God says there will never be an end to the seasons? So who all of these people are telling us that, that there will be a time that the earth will get so hot there's not going to be any? Well, by that time you're not going to be here, but there will always be seasons. The season that these folk don't want to get into is the season of the judgment of God. Got it? Okay. Ezekiel 36:29-30, I will save you from all your uncleanliness. Now think of that. Lord, save me from my enemies. Larry, I'm going to save you. Now, we're already in our glorified bodies, so we're in good shape by this time. But I will save you from all your uncleanliness. So the uncleanness then is coming from inside the heart of the human race. Huh? Is it not from out of the heart proceeds evil? It is not that enters a man. Now, and don't get me wrong in this statement, but hear it. When you listen to people say, well, the reason that I committed this crime or the reason I done something bad is because what I saw on TV. That's garbage, folks. Evil comes from within. Not without. What goes from without in, it has to be already inside there for it to be corrupted. And they use that as an excuse. Matter of fact, they use it in court. Yes. Attorneys use it right and left. Well, they saw that R-rated movie. You know, they ought to watch the Bible. Now, you tell me that the Bible's not R-rated. Sure it is. You'll find more sex, blood, guts, and war, and beheadings, and mutilation of babies in the Bible than you'll ever see in any other book. That's why your pastor's not for censorship. Because when you ever allow censorship to come in, the Bible will be the first book that they'll take off the shelf. Yes. So what you do, you and I are here on earth to present the gospel of Christ, that those who don't know him may know about him. When the Holy Spirit touches their life, he's going to send one of us to be there, and that way they've got skin to look at and to be able to talk to about what the Holy Spirit has convicted them of, and we are about our Father's business. That's why we're here, to help one another. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, will not bring famine upon you. Man, I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Joel 2:26, you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Now, folks, that's just the millennial reign. During that period of time, I've told you what took place. Here's something very interesting. At the end of this period that I will get into next week, you will find that then, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, Satan is let loose from his bonds. And the scripture says that Satan comes forth and is able to raise an army that can't be counted. Mankind, the human race, will have corrupted themselves right in the perfect condition. Then is to call the battle of Gog and Magog. That's the final one. But I always say it's the final battle never fought. Because when they all come up against the Lord, it says, they're all coming against Christ, Satan, and then is when Christ says, that's it. See, all of the battle, whether it's Armageddon or Gog and Magog, all the battles, all the wars have always been won by the word of God. We will be there, yes. What will we do? We will witness the glory of Christ, our Savior. When he said, Larry Pete, I'm going to protect you throughout eternity. Larry Pete's going to be there. I'm going to have a smile on my face along with you all. And I'm going to watch as God says it's over. Remember Jesus on the cross. His final words were, it is finished. From generation to generation, from age to age, it has always been the words of God, it is finished. When God says it's finished, then what? He says, then a new age. And when that age is finished, then a new age. But here's what you and I need to think on. You and I, the scripture says, will reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. There's no end to forever.